Quentin Solomon Nectarine Baptiste here. You know, the first thing I like to do, first thing in the morning, is settle down to promote a mouth podcast.
Well, it's Thursday. That can mean only one thing. It's time for episode number 37 of the Promoter Mouths podcast. Good evening, Pablo.
Good evening, Kai. It can also mean another thing.
What could it also mean?
It could mean that we didn't do it on Wednesday.
Oh, it could. Yeah. Yeah, it could mean that we didn't do it on Wednesday. Yeah. Why didn't we do it on Wednesday?
I think you had to pick up your daughter from somewhere.
Yep, had to go over all the way over to Hopton for the Haven. She does lifeguards.
All right, yeah.
They're giving her loads of work through the summer. It's good.
Nice.
But not so much in winter. Anyway, yep, she's earning her crust.
Nice time of life, isn't it, when you're still living at home. You've got a little bit of independence and all the money you earn is disposable.
Yes.
And it brings back memories.
You get transported to work and back for free.
Wow.
Lest we forget.
Yeah, that's a thing nowadays.
When you're young and then suddenly you're independent and then petrol kicks in and rent and phone bills and so on. She's got it all coming to her.
I had a bicycle. I didn't pass my test till I was 30.
Wow. You know, I was late too.
Yeah.
I always used to get the bus.
Oh, what? Yeah,
everywhere.
Bus wanker.
Yep. Yeah, or I lived very close to where I worked.
I can see you at a bus stop with a carrier bag.
Yeah. That'd be me. ding, next stop driver.
There's a bloke who used to come in the pub in Lowestoft, right? A Scottish fella. I forget his name. But I haven't drank in Lowestoft like solidly for about 10 years. But I used to be a regular in a pub called The Carton. And he used to go in there, this Scottish guy, and always carried a carrier bag everywhere he went. Absolutely. And you could see him walking around Lowestoft with a carrier bag. And about a week ago, I was in Lowestoft. Lo and behold, he walked past me, holding a carrier bag. It's been like 10 years since I've seen him.
I think it was the same bag.
No, they tend to sort of disintegrate, don't they?
Has he not got himself a bag for life?
Sounds
like he's got one.
He's probably got a collection. Have you got a collection of bags under the sink?
Not anymore. We used to.
Well,
every time you went shopping, you get half a dozen bags, and then they started charging, and then I started going out of the shop with handfuls of shopping and putting them in the boot.
It made tight people organise that, did
it? Did, yeah. It's true.
I've still got a lot of bags under the sink.
Yeah. We've got some bags for life.
Yeah.
We've got so many. We've got a few lifetimes worth of those. Because I started buying those. It's like, why would I want a plastic bag when I can have one of those strong ones? Now we've got about 10 bags for life.
I like the paper ones. You know, but even though they're a bit more expensive, they fascinate me, given how strong they are for being paper.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
Yeah.
And I always think, if I need to start a fire, just put something in this bag. It'll probably go up.
Yeah, I thought with the bags for life, though, it's quite a commitment, isn't it?
Yeah, speaking of which, I'm getting married in November.
You were going to have a bag for life. You made me say that. I didn't want to say that then.
Yeah, you crossed it in and knocked it in.
I don't know. Even
though it wasn't on goal.
Am I allowed to leave that in?
It's up to you, Kai.
Does Mrs. Pablo listen to this?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I've met Mrs. Pablo. No, I'm taking it out.
All right, okay. You best be safe, Dan.
What's going on here, then? What are we doing?
So let's have should we do an introduction? And I thought this week, right,
yeah.
You always blame it on me. Can you read the introduction?
Yeah.
In the style of Rose West?
Oh.
Because you do a good Rose West.
Okay.
Whenever you're talking about where you live, you go into Rose West.
All right. Well, I'm from Bristol, though. She was from Gloucester.
Same, innit? Still sound like a pilot.
Let's have a look, then. Right, Rose. Two rival comedy promoters happen to live in the same sleepy town in Norfolk. Rather than be at each other's throats, competing for territory like crap Colombian cartel leaders, we have joined together with the joint aim of banging on about the UK comedy scene through the lens of also living in an idyllic English market town.
Ah, it's lovely, that. I felt the urge to climb inside the wardrobe and watch you having sex with a with a punter.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt the urge to go and dig a patio up.
Yeah.
When I was reading that. Yeah. And when I did, you notice when I read at each other's throats, I had a little tingle.
Well, I didn't notice you had a tingle. I wasn't looking down
I was
there.
Channeling my best Rose West.
That was good, right there. That was good. All right. That. Yeah.
So, what have we got coming up?
We've got a week roundup.
Praise be.
Comedy rumours.
/
Shithousery. Sorry.
Parking like a twat in Loddon and Chedgrave.
Seagull News.
Opinion whores.
Hellfire and damnation.
Contrition.
Contrition.
Yeah. So that's what we've got coming up to. People do like that. They like a format.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
I don't know if... Does it get boring? Do you think people are like, yeah, get on with it, boys?
We can change it a little bit, can't we? I think we keep them guessing. We throw enough wild cards in. It's not like the Simon Mayo show used to be. Do you remember that?
No.
That had a format. It was literally... It was the same fucking words every single night. Like every night. This is like once a week. You go, let's play three-word Tuesdays... And people were phoning, and this is a real shit feature. I mean, you don't like Seagull News, but if we had three-word Tuesdays, that'd be like just some random bloody Doris ringing in, going to pub. And that was three words. And that was all the feature was, just getting people to shout three words, and then they'd get on the...
But that was groundbreaking radio.
It might have been about 40 years ago.
Mm.
It was shite radio by the time it... Got took off air.
Is he still going?
I think he is, yeah.
Has he not been outed as a wrong'un? Is he one of the lucky ones? Sir?
No, I don't know. I think he loses his shit every now and then at somebody publicly. Every time somebody has a pop at him, he goes, well, you can have a pop at me all you like, but I'm going to lose my shit.
Check his hard drive. Is that what people say? And he loses it then?
I mean, anybody who worked for the BBC for that length of time is going to, you know.
Well.
They're going to be under suspicion, aren't they?
Complicit. They all knew.
Yeah, there is a bit of that.
Were you allowed to say that?
I'll
get my legal team onto it and check it before I put this out.
Yeah, do that. I think you are allowed to say it because I think they did a report and they sort of said, yeah, we were a bit complicit.
All right.
The management were. But they all must have known. Look, Johnny Rotten. Is it Johnny Rotten?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said Lydon. He said it, didn't he? And he didn't go to prison.
No, that's true.
Yes, you can say it.
All right, yeah. Simon Mayo. Well, we can't say Simon Mayo is a nonce, can we?
I'm not saying that. What you're saying was he worked for the BBC, so was therefore complicit in the enabling of Jimmy Savile. It's a bit of a stretch to say they were all complicit. I mean, if you work for a massive organisation and somebody there is a bit of a wrong'un, you know what I mean?
Let's have a week roundup. What have you been up to this week, Pablo Donaldio?
Well, you know, last week we were talking about when is it all right to do accents and not be racist?
Yeah.
Well, I accidentally burnt my finger and then did that thing where you burn your finger and you go, like that. So I was accidentally Chinese. Did you ever do that?
No.
It's a thing. Honestly, I asked around, right? Said, like, I bet you might
see,
do
this
it.
This is where I get twitchy. I'm not sure if even that's allowed to... You can't be accidentally Chinese.
It happens. If you burn yourself, you go...
No, don't do it again. Shit. Shit, Pablo, what's come over you?
It's like a cross between speaking in tongues. It happens to people, right? If you burn yourself... You'll accidentally start speaking in like faux Chinese.
Wow.
It's not racist. It's just letting off a bit of a letting the pain out.
All right.
Yeah, but it does happen.
I saw,
you must do it. I bet you do it and not noticed.
Well, I saw, maybe. I mean, I saw a kitten on the internet the other day, and I went, oh. But that's not, is it?
It sounds like you're in Enter the Dragon.
To you, maybe, Pablo.
You're about to sort of meet the big guy at the end. Yeah, so actually, I've been indulging in a bit of...
So basically you were accidentally racist, is yeah, what yeah. you're saying?
There was another time I was accidentally racist as well.
Oh, no.
I noticed... Is
that going to make this podcast accidentally racist?
Look, well, you tell me if this is racist or not, right? I was reading the Indian menu, right? I was reading down, and in my head I could hear Muhammad. So I'm reading it. Then my head starts wobbling from side to side as I'm reading it. And I thought, I'm doing it. Because I was like channeling Muhammad. But I wasn't doing it mean in a mean way. I was like sort of muttering. And my head was going from side to side. That's not racist, is it?
I don't know. I suppose if you think it is, then it probably is.
I don't think it is. I don't know. I was just, you know...
Well, Pablo, episode 37. It's been a good run, hasn't it?
Have you been accidentally racist this week?
Never. No. And certainly not.
Do I need to educate myself?
Yeah, maybe. I'm really worried now because there's a part of me thinks, well, if Pablo thinks it's all right, it must be all right. And there's another part thinking, I've broadcast this to the nation.
We can see the line there. Shall we go over it or should we step back?
So if anybody out there listening would like to buy a Rodecaster Pro, two microphones and a laptop.
Yeah, because our podcasting days are over.
Yeah, 37. Yeah. Oh. 37 all out. I've been thinking about teaching most of this week.
Ah,
starts good. Back next week.
Is it next week?
Yeah.
Already? It only seems like 5 minutes ago when you was gloating about your bloody summer off.
Yeah, it was like, I've got 6-7 weeks off, and now we're down to the days, counting the days, and then it'll be the hours,
how do you feel?
I'll be in my car. Well, you know, just like it always was, you sort of... It's the one job I've had where you have so much time off, you kind of forget how to do it a bit. And then you start looking at it again. You go, oh, yeah, I might do that. And then I just trawl the internet for simple lessons to teach. And I don't do a lot of my own planning. I always look for tried and tested ideas and adapt them.
Oh,
yeah.
Standing on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, well, you know, well, that's just
how does that work out?
It's just a clever way of saying you're nicking other people's ideas, isn't it?
Oh, I see. Is that okay? Yeah. I thought you meant.
I'm trying to help you out a bit.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I'm a lazy teacher. No, but it's getting to that point where you start looking and you start forgetting, and then you don't know what the kid's going to be like when you get there either.
Yeah, don't worry, they're as thick as pig shit anyway. They won't know that you don't know what you're doing.
Well, no, that's the beauty of what I do. Yeah, they don't know that I don't know what I'm doing. I've been winging it for 18 years, mate.
Well, and yeah.
At some points, it was quite well paid, too. Yeah. You pinch yourself every payday.
Welcome to my life. Yeah, bloody hell. Yeah.
You're a charlatan, too.
Yeah. I think it's healthy to have imposter syndrome, though, mate. Definitely.
You think so?
Yeah, I think. The old Dunning-Kruger, where you got people that are confident but not competent... that's the worst place to be. But if you're slightly outside of your comfort zone, it means that you're stretching yourself and you're probably trying a bit harder. And you're probably a hell of a lot better than other people that are doing it. And how long have you been doing it? You just said 18 odd years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't be that bad. You'd have been struck off by that.
Yeah, but I'm not an English teacher. I was a drama teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, just looking at things to do. I sometimes teach stuff that I don't know, so I learn it myself.
Yeah, well, that's I mean, teaching is a skill, mate. It's got to be 80% teaching, 20% subject, surely.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you get there, you sit there with them at their table in their kitchen for 3 hours. It's like one long lesson.
Yeah.
It's not ideal, is it?
Do you ever find yourself entertaining and performing them? Like performing for them a little bit, just to sort of liven things up?
Well, I kind of sometimes pretend to be a teacher. That's a bit of a performance in its own way, isn't it?
Do you ever get your MC in and your teaching mixed up?
What, when I sit down?
Yeah, and you sort of say, it's one on one, is it? It is. You don't go like, yeah.
If you know the answer, say yee-haw. If you don't know it, shout bollocks.
Yeah,
that sort kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
You should maybe give it a go.
It's a bit like that, though. You know, you sort of, yeah, you've got to take one cap off and put the other one on. You've got to, and the parents are sometimes in the house.
Yeah.
And you've got to be kind of the teacher, the responsible teacher, especially when you're arguing with the kid over something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know when you was a kid and you went back to school and you was going up like to the next level, was there always a rumour about getting your head flushed down the toilets and all of that and getting bullied by the big boys?
I think that was from older brothers and sisters like to wind up their younger.
Yeah, I was going to say, never really transpired all of that, did it?
No.
I don't think it did. I mean, you know, the school I went to wasn't exactly a cakewalk, but I don't know
what it's like in schools now. I mean, I haven't been in there way through the pandemic. I wasn't teaching, so I wonder if it's worse now than it was back then.
I get
bullying and stuff.
Yeah, it's got to be more unruly, hasn't it? I don't know. I mean, when I was in school, teachers were still hitting the children with straps and stuff.
Yeah, I had a board rubber and a bit of chalk chucked at me. I had one teacher poke me brutally in the chest with his finger.
Oh, it sounds like hell, mate.
Yeah.
In our school, we had a psychotic headmaster who was going around strapping everybody and caning everyone.
I mean, I deserved it, though.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've put The Bomb.
The Bomb. Oh, yeah, I went to see that film with Mrs. Pablo Oppenheimer.
Yes.
So it goes on for 3 hours, it does.
Are you good at three-hour films?
I think it was about 3 hours too long.
Oh, dear. Not a fan.
It was all right, but it's just a little bit too long. I'll tell you what I did like. We went into the IMAX bit, and I don't think I've really done IMAX before. I wasn't sure what to get.
So you did the IMAX version? Yeah, supposed to be really good.
Yeah, like the effects were really good for that. And the sounds and, you know, the chairs and everything were rattling away. And, my ears were feeling like they were going to bust out of my head. But it's 3 hours. What I didn't realise about the rush to create a nuclear weapon was that they sort of morally had to do it as much as they morally didn't have to do it. Because if they didn't do it, they knew that the know-how was sort of getting to a place where somebody was going to do it. So it was a race to do it first to get control. I mean, that's probably about an hour and a half there, just that notion. And that's probably all they need to do. So, like, man creates nuclear bomb, man feels really bad about nuclear bomb, and that's the film. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and that's over 3 hours, you know what I mean? And there's interweaving plots about man doesn't like the man who created a nuclear bomb, so that man then gets lots of FBI officials to try and frame him as some kind of communist. And it went on and on and on.
Oh, okay.
And on and on.
I was going to go and see it.
You might like it. A lot of people really like it.
Yeah. It's an Oscar winner, probably, isn't it?
There's been so much shit films, though, since the pandemic. Pandemic was 2020, and to get funding for a film and then to actually make the film, you're probably talking a couple of years, aren't you?
Yeah.
So it's taken a little while for them to filter through the good ones.
I saw an episode on YouTube, an episode of This Is Your Life.
Oh, aye.
And they got a survivor of the Hiroshima bomb, and his name was Kiyoshi Tanimoto. And his This Is Your Life guest was the guy that dropped the bomb. They had him hidden behind a door. And they said, and that's a voice of... And they brought out one of the guys to meet the survivor. And he had no idea that was going to happen.
Is this for real?
This is for real. It's an actual episode.
Who was doing the holding the red book? Was it Eamon Holmes?
Oh,
not Eamon. What was he called? Eamon Andrews or something like that?
Eamon Andrews. No, it wasn't. It was an American version.
Oh, right.
And he was a Methodist minister, was this guy, Tanimoto. And yeah, they had him on there, and then they, you know, when they do the voice of the guest,
yeah,
and this is
the guy
who dropped the bomb, who pressed the button.
Wow.
And then he was telling the story about how it happened and how he dropped it, and then they had to get away from the blast and fly away, and he thought afterwards, oh, what have I done, or whatever.
Was it Hiroshima or Nagasaki?
Hiroshima.
Right.
As far as I'm aware, yeah.
So that'll be Enola Gay.
That's right. Yeah.
And what was the bomb called? The bomb had a bloody sick name for a bomb.
Little Boy or something, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Time is standing still as our Earth shakes to an explosion never before equaled. In a daze, you pull yourself from your position between the two garden rocks. From your vantage point, you again look out over the city. You started to tell us what you saw. What did you see?
Well, I saw the whole city on fire. And many people running away from the city in silence. Their skin peeling off, hanging from face, from arm, but strange to say, in silence, it looked like a procession of ghosts.
Did you know that Hiroshima had been the first city to feel the force of atomic power?
Well, I didn't know what happened.
But as your mind clears, you think of your wife and baby, your church, your parishioners, all somewhere in the enveloping dust. You start to run toward the city, saying, "My God, help them."
And looking down from thousands of feet over Hiroshima, all I could think of was, "My God, what have we done?"
The voice again of a man whose second of eternity was woven up with yours, Reverend Tanimoto. Now, you've never met him, have never seen him, but he's here tonight to clasp your hand in friendship. Captain Robert Lewis, United States Air Force, who along with Paul Tibbetts piloted the plane from which the first atomic power was dropped over Hiroshima. Come in here, close, and would you tell us, sir, of your experience on August 6, 1945?
That really happened. So, yeah, shocking. I was shocked anyway, but apparently they shook hands and all is forgiven. There. Oh, praise. You get that baritone perfect every time.
Oh, thanks, Gary.
Oh, you've put Bobby Davro.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Well, not a lot as it happens. Had booked Bobby Davro for a couple of gigs in September. And if you bought tickets and you are listening, then apologies. It's not going to happen for reasons I won't bore you with. But, yeah, I wanted to shout out to Bobby. Decent geezer. And, yeah.
That's a shame. I was looking forward to that. Getting back later on down the line.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Got a few ideas.
And you've also put Justin Pranks.
Yes. Well, how many podcasts have you done this week?
Oh, did you do the Pranks and Firth one?
I didn't do the Pranks and Firth one, but Justin Pranks, very kindly, and so thanks, Justin, if you're listening, very kindly jumped on and helped us out with a sort of test concept. Unfortunately,
you've been moonlighting, Pablo.
I've not edited it because my battery went fucking shit up on my laptop. And then it, anyway, I'll tell you all about that in a bit.
Do you know what that means? Moonlighting? It's not an 80s show with what's his name in?
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. It's not that. Yeah. Moonlighting, Pablo. That's where you covertly go off doing a job outside of your normal job.
Yeah. Well, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how did it go?
I'm actually really pleased with how it went. I did wonder whether or not to be sort of, I didn't, Justin's very sort of full on in his own pods, so I did wonder, a little bit like yourself and Tony.
Yeah, he gets a bit sweary, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't mind that.
He likes the old fucking this and fucking that, fucking, that's my Panks impression.
He's from Norfolk.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like it. He sounds like a Cockney.
Yeah, no, well, he spent a bit of time down there, I think. But now he's brought up in Norfolk.
Okay.
Yeah, so he went all right. I'll edit it a little bit, and if I may, I'll send it to you just with a bit of feedback. Mm. But
I'd like to hear what a Pablo edit sounds like.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. It seems like a mountain to climb in my mind. But let me say this. Firstly, very grateful for Justin and his time, which he offered up for free. I'll get it edited. Maybe we'll stick it on our Patreon. But we could shoehorn bits in.
So Justin replaced me. Is that what you're saying?
Not really. No, because it was more me asking them the questions so that they would shoehorn into the pod format.
Give me an example.
Right, so...
I'll be Justin.
All right, then. I'd say something like, you've heard our section where we talk about comedy rumours forward slash your towels.
Oh, yeah, fucking hell, yeah. I've seen that fucking brilliant fucking hell, mate.
Is there anything you'd like to get off your chest in the comedy industry that you don't like? And then he's off on one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's fairly easy.
He's probably got a few things.
Yeah, exactly.
To get off his chest. Some people don't like going down that road, do they?
I mean, I think if you're interviewing people with who's a higher profile, they're probably a bit more guarded, or they're probably likely to be a bit more guarded.
Yes. Nice.
Support Kai and Pablo by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/promotermouths.
Thanks, Tony.
It's now time for comedy rumours / shithousery.
Nice one, Dara. Now, comedy rumours / shithousery. Here's a little name to conjure with from way back, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I remember this name.
Do you remember this name?
Inky Jones.
Inky Jones.
Yeah.
I stumbled across Inky Jones online. Not the guy, but I was looking up one-star reviews after last week's episode. I thought, oh, let's go and find some funny one-star reviews for comedy shows and see how bad they are.
All right.
And it took me to TripAdvisor, where there is a comedy club that has lots of one-star reviews.
All right, okay.
Right.
Let's have a look.
And I'll read a couple of them out, all right? It was called the London Comedy Club.
Leicester Square, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. London Comedy, he had a few little clubs.
If I remember rightly, whilst you're looking, I get to read a bit of context. He had a comedy club in Leicester Square. He used to run them on next to nothing and get lots of open spots in and pass them off as proper and get actual paying people in there.
Yeah, on the flyer it said, award-winning TV names, BAFTA award-winning compere or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd worked on as a runner or something on a show years ago that won a BAFTA. And so he was the BAFTA award-winning comic. Dreadful Avoid. I went to one of their shows at the Ambassador's Hotel. There were about 12 people in the hotel's basement meeting room. There was one main act, the guy who ran the whole event. He was mildly amusing, but it was awful as there were so few people and he had so little material. He introduced the main act, an award-winning comedian. She came on, was a bit rubbish, and disappeared after about 10 to 15 minutes. The only redeeming feature was that it was cheap. So he was billing it as a pro night and finding people off the street, basically. And he was doing. He did 45 minutes at the top of the show.
Wow!
And then brought on a few mediocre open spots and so on. So that and it just goes on and on. 200 odd one star reviews, and this is not a comedy club. atrocious. Do not book. Christmas. There we go. No one was there. So sometimes they turn up. Nobody was there.
Right.
And they got no reviews. No refunds. But. Do not sign up for this. Anyway, everybody said it's a scam. Mm. And he had people in the street giving out flyers and charging them. I think he was saying, oh, normally the tickets are 17 quid and they're only about a tenner or 8 quid now, which was what they brought him down on. The Trading Standard said that that's illegal to advertise like that. So Inky Jones, anyway, later on down the line, he upset so many people that he got taken to court. And for not paying £1.3 million in tax.
Oh, wow.
That was his downfall at the end.
£1.3 million, so he must have made a fair bit.
He must have been making something somewhere.
That was his tax bill.
So he upset enough people. Now, he had sort of quotes from reviews from Chortle, which weren't actually reviews of his show. They were somebody else's show and things like that.
I was going to say the Dunning-Kruger thing was evident there, but he was definitely good at making money then. If he had a £1.3 million tax bill.
Must have been, yeah. And I don't know where he is now, but that is a name to conjure with. Now, everybody's probably, from back in that time, has a story about Inky Jones.
I bet he runs a pub somewhere.
Do you think so?
Yeah, he'll run a pub. Used to be a guy that ran a pub down here that was in marketing, in inverted commas, and he was a right woman.
Okay.
If you looked him up.
Yeah, I just got drawn into a little rabbit hole of Inky Jones because I thought, who runs this club? And yeah. I searched, and then it turns out, with a bit of research, it was his. And nightmare. He used to do 45 minutes talking to the audience. And there's a video of him talking to the audience, and they got round to one guy who was doing a documentary on fraudulent comedy clubs. And he said, how is it going? He goes, well, I'll tell you later. So the guy was there doing the research and filming him. Wow. Yeah, it's a car crash. So, yeah, I thought I'd just drop him in there because that's a name from the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Old Inky Jones.
I wonder what his real name is.
His real name, it is out there. It's...
it'll be on Company's House somewhere,
I think
won't
it's
it?
Daniel something. Yeah. I sent him an email...
Can I do one of your gigs, please?
I sent him an email to see if he wanted to have a chat, but the email was Inky Jones. I don't think he goes by that name anymore. Yeah. But yeah. So yes, that'd be a name that some people go, fuck, Inky Jones.
Stinky Jones, more like.
Yeah, Stinky Jones. That's right. That is proper shithousery of the highest order, anyway.
It certainly is.
Parking like a twat in Loddon and Shedgrave, in brackets, the local bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It's been absolute mayhem round here this week, according to the Facebook page of the Lord and I.
Yep. Vandals.
Vandals.
Vandals again. That's 3 weeks in a row now.
They need to get themselves proper jobs and all.
Although they are vandals that I would say could be cut some slack this week.
Why is that?
Because they've been vandalising.
Yeah.
And what they did this week was they went past the notice board on the high street, where everyone displays their notices of events and things, and they ripped off every single poster and card from the notice board, leaving it blank, except for one poster, which was for Shaft of Wit Comedy and at the White Horse in Shedgrave, and they left it on there. And it looked to all the world like maybe I'd done that.
Do you reckon somebody was trying to frame you?
No, it's because I staple them.
Oh, I see.
Really right. Well. Right, and they right. didn't get away with that. But who goes around and does that? They're out of control. But
didn't they hand them into the co-op or something?
Somebody picked them up off the car park grounds and handed them in. Why? But yeah, mine was the only poster on there for a while.
Why are you handing them into the co-op?
What's
like, here's a load of rubbish I found on the street.
Yeah.
Hello.
Big pile of wet posters.
You've got to walk past three bins.
It's true. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, so vandals again.
Somebody must have thought, co-op is the seat of authority in this village. Let's go there. They'll put it right. That's what's going on there.
Yeah. Oh, we put them all the posters in there. And then they said that's what they've done on Facebook. What do they expect people to do? Go and claim them?
I don't know.
Anyway, it didn't really affect me. I had left pride of place. Yeah. Maybe they like the comedy.
Yeah, maybe. Or it was just you.
You've put, how do you like those apples?
Yeah. So somebody called Linda was so mad she had to post in the Lord and I about her apples. It's Linda Sue Mad.
So mad.
Sue Mad.
Sewmad.
It's like so mad, but pronounce it as if you're from Norfolk.
Sewmad.
Yeah, that's how it's spelt. Linda Sewmad.
But when you sew,
yeah,
it's S-E-W. When you sew with a needle.
Yeah, yeah.
Sew.
No, this is Sue.
All right.
Yeah, Linda Sewmad. Right. So, and it's one of them that starts with a two.
Do you think that's her real name?
Well, I tell you what, she's not on there anymore, so I'm glad I took a screenshot. Because I went in the comments and said, we'll be talking about this on this week's pod.
It didn't go to plan for her, did it?
No, everybody sort of... Well, let's tell the listeners what she posted. This is the kind of shit that goes down around here. To the middle-aged couple out wandering around Chedgrave this afternoon, please message us your address. We'd love to share what you make with the apples from our tree. Next time you want to pick some fruit, you might like to try Hillfield Nursery and Farm Shop. Pick your own, but then you'd have to pay for those. Well, it could just be an advert for Hillfield Nursery and Farm Shop. I've been there, actually.
It's an odd way of advertising something, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what, it could be genius, actually. Linda's So Mad, right, could actually be a made-up name, because thinking about it...
So Mad?
Yeah. The person who writes to the as a starting gambit on her Facebook, yeah, that might be a made-up person. And creating a little bit of a hoo-ha to keep the post relevant.
Ooh.
Could be.
Basically, somebody took some apples from her garden.
That's the corner of the post.
Yeah. And what was everyone saying?
Everyone was saying...
Tight bastard.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a few apples.
Yeah, wind your net back in. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sharing is caring.
It does beg the question of whether she is right to get angry at somebody taking apples.
It does beg that question.
Did they walk into her garden to get them from the tree, or was it near the fence, I wonder? Because I walked past a pear tree walking the dog, and it's not overhanging, but you could reach them if you tried. They're not ripe yet.
I like to get my lips around a lovely pear.
Pablo.
I do.
Seagull News. It's now time for Seagull News.
Okay.
Looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah. I've been busy.
You have actually been busy.
I have been busy, Pablo.
To the listeners, last week I wrote an epic poem called The Battle of Lowestoft, and it was about myself getting attacked by a seagull. And I read it out. It's on the Facebook page if you want to go and have a look at it, and it's accompanied by a beautiful painting by Mrs. Pablo. But I challenged Kai to write a poem about a seagull, and he's jabbing his fat fingers on his phone.
I've been pondering over the very final line, and now I've just put it in there.
Ah, well, okay.
Well, to the wire.
Is that what it's called?
No. It is called We Are the Seagulls.
I like it. I like it already, Kai.
Okay. We are the seagulls, the fisherman's friend. We've suffered too long, so this message we send. We've had a complaint from an innocent bird. She was trapped and wanked over. You've probably heard. One sick, horny human stepped over the line, pinned down the poor chick with resulting sex crimes. We wish to feel loved like the swans and the geese, but that went too far, so we're breaking the peace. The way we are treated, quite frankly, it stinks. The newspaper's changing the way that you thinks. You thinks we are danger with menacing gaze, stalking you, squawking, invading your space. You see feathers and wings and a much smaller brain. You think we are different. We're not. We're the same. You live on the land and you fish from the sea. Where is the difference between you and me? In summer you flock to the coast by the score, parading and playing on land and on shore. We may be birds, human, but we are like you, a subculture species, you have more than a few. We are like white toga Romans, we occupy shores, a razor-billed army for you to adore. Us birds stick together, we all think alike, behaviours identical, similar psych. We are just like your gangs, like the Bloods and the Crips, shaking you down for your ice cream and chips. Like the Skins in the 80s, fear is our thing. Smooth-headed evil and a mighty right wing. Like the mods before them, we all strut and we preen, spoiling for trouble the smartest you've seen. So enough with your bullshit reports in the press. And as for your podcasts, we couldn't care less. We are the Seagulls. We were here first. We see all your problems and we're so not the worst. You cannot kill us for fun or food, that's the law. You can't eat us cooked. You can't eat us raw. So from Gannet and Gull and the Queen Kitty Wake, bow down to us, human, and man up for fuck's sake.
Oh, wow. Wow, Kai, that is...
Drop the quill pen right there.
I don't know what to say.
Were you expecting that, Pablo?
I wasn't, no. No, to the point. I put on the second thing, a shit poem about seagulls by Pam Ayres. I was going to get you to read that out because I didn't think you'd do one. Boy, did you do one.
I did one, didn't I?
Yeah, that was quite some length. I mean, when I thought fucking Oppenheimer was long, that took some beating.
Yeah. That was quite something, wasn't it? Let's move on to opinion whores, Pablo. You've put...
Kiss my face.
Ooh. Question mark. I think I know what this is.
Yeah, what do you think it is?
It's the Spanish FA chairman, president.
Got a bit carried away, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I'd say so.
Yeah. So the Spanish ladies won the World Cup against our ladies, and when they went up to get their medals and all the rest of it, they had to meet the dignitaries, and he was really, really happy, and put his hands on the side of the face of this footballer lady and gives her a big smacker on the lips. And,
But also, she took all his weight as well. He jumped up and she was carrying him. Did you see that on the angle of the video?
I didn't see that.
Both his feet go off the ground.
Oh, okay, so she was getting into it.
Well, I wouldn't say she was getting into it. He just really went for it, didn't he?
It's a weird thing, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like they were waiting for it to happen. Let me first say, if you're a bloke and you work with ladies, not a good idea to go out kissing them, right? And that's effectively what happened. It was a workplace. But let me also say, it's football. Footballers kiss each other. And they're like, they're Latin, aren't they, all the Spaniards? They kiss everything, don't they? When you meet them, you get a face full of flop, don't you?
Yeah.
They'll kiss you then.
That's where the COVID spread really quickly in Italy.
Because it all...
At the start, because they're all a bit touchy-feely and they all live in houses with families, lots of big families in houses.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Well, that's the same in Spain, sure. So, you know, his mother's on hunger strike because she thinks it's a witch hunt. He's refusing to resign, but there's loads and loads of ladies marauding around Spain wanting him to resign and saying it's basically their Me Too movement, this. And you know, what do you think about this guy?
What do you think?
What do you think?
Well, I think he got overexcited. Would he have done it to the men's team?
It makes it worse if he got overexcited.
Yeah. I can see why he's excited. You know, it's money in the bank. Everything's good for Spanish football.
Yeah.
If you might be that passionate about it.
Do you think it was meant with sexual intent?
Because it's like, "Oh, you beauty!"
Yeah, it is, yeah.
A bit like that.
Yeah. It's a slight miss, isn't it, I think. It doesn't strike me, whilst you can't kiss people at work, it doesn't strike me as a sexual assault. Maybe it's an accidental sexual assault, a bit like my accidental racism.
Yeah, I've accidentally sexually assaulted you.
Yeah, well, he kissed her, didn't he?
What are you like, Mimoso?
So when the defender jumps on the attacker's shoulders and then they kiss each other after a goal, I've seen that happen before, and they're the same sex, but I mean...
When Paul Gascoigne grabbed Vinnie Jones's bollocks, nobody was complaining about that, were they?
I think Paul Gascoigne had something to say about that, to be fair to him, but yeah.
What did he say?
Fuck off, get off me bollocks. I'm paraphrasing, but like...
Oh, wasn't it Paul Gascoigne grabbing Vinnie Jones?
No, it was the other way around.
Oh, the other way round.
Yeah,
okay.
Hold on while you get off my bollocks, Luke.
Why, aye, man?
Yeah.
You got me tallywhacker.
Yeah. I think what the argument against it is that A, it's in the workplace, and B, he holds authority, and she couldn't do anything about it. Which I saw, he shouldn't be kissing them. And was there an element, little element of like, you know, oh, yes, little girl, was he going to pat her on the bum as well?
He did.
I mean? Did he?
Yeah, as she walked past, he slaps her ass. Or no, well, just above her ass. Like you would with a teammate. Really, go on, son.
Yeah.
Maybe he forgot that they're ladies, treating them equally.
Yeah, maybe. It's a weird world, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a strange one, and I think it's going to run and run. I don't think he should resign. I think he should learn from it, that he overstepped the mark.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he came out and said, look, you know what, I didn't mean to cause any offence, either to the lady or to anybody else. Maybe I did overstep the little mark a little bit, but it was no sexual intent.
Got millions of people on looking at you. You're not going to do it intentionally. Oh, I'm going to now sexually assault this young lady as she comes by, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Well, you could argue under plain sight. You know?
Oh.
Yeah, that happens. There's footage of, I've mentioned him before, there's footage of Gary Glitter with Jimmy Savile in the studio, and he's having a fumble.
Oh,
yeah, that's not very nice. But yeah, I mean, maybe we'll look back in this in 10 years' time and go nailed on. What a wrong one! But it doesn't seem completely nailed on to me. But definitely, well, it's a bit Philip Schofield, isn't it? Not illegal, but unwise.
Why didn't he kiss them all? Maybe she was his favourite.
Wasn't she like the best player or something? Wasn't she the captain or something like that? Yeah. He was like really pleased. If it was the male football team, maybe he'd have kissed the male captain.
If the player turned around and said, "Oh, I liked it actually, no harm done," then would that be fine?
No harm done. This just makes me think of David Brent here. One up the bum, no harm done.
I don't think he went that far.
Well, if she turned around and said, "Yeah, I was right into that," and I don't think she was. I mean, she's a footballer, isn't she? I mean, a lesbian. I mean, you know.
Pablo, you can't keep saying they're not lesbians. Just because they like to shower together.
No, well, they all have to, don't they? Look.
They don't have to, surely. Well, you can opt out of the shower.
That is a weird thing. How come they are predominantly lesbians in women's football? Why is that a thing? Do you reckon...
Are they?
Yeah, I think they are. And they're out as well.
Where are your stats?
They're out. I've read various articles and heard various commentaries on it.
On the internet.
On the internet. I've seen videos of it.
Yes, I've seen that one. Let's get out while we can, Pablo. Good save.
Hellfire and damnation. In this section, we outline a scenario where each one of us has been wronged, or where we think someone or something should be thrown into the pits of hell.
Diane Abbott there. I like Diane now. I think we're actually doing some favours for her career.
We spent the last two episodes talking about what accents you can and can't do, and we just... plainly do a bloke doing an impression of a black politician.
Well, this is what I was saying last week. At what point is it an acceptable impression?
That is an absolute spot-on impression.
One of my favourites, yeah.
It's absolutely nailed. But, yeah. But anyway, what have we got in Hellfire and Damnation?
Well, you've put shit WhatsApp group etiquette and my own impatience with it.
Yeah, I guess probably what... Yeah, I'm organising a stag do, right? And it's probably more a go at the shit functionality in WhatsApp, because it encourages you to do several things at the same time, and they're not compatible, right? So I've got a WhatsApp group for the stag do, and if you want to arrange something on there, you write, got had this email back from the bicycle tour. Give us your opinion and tell me if you're coming and all the rest of it. So you paste the email down, and then you get lots of bants. You get a few people going, "Yeah, I'm up for it." And you got lots of bants, and then
on your bike.
some of them even funnier than that guy. But anyway, you get lots and lots of bants, And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I know for a fact three people that are coming to this only look at WhatsApp once every other day. And they're not going to read it. So it's like, oh, can you just slow down on your fucking bants just so people can read it?
Yeah, it's going to get lost.
It's going to get lost. And the thing, what I was hoping to achieve with a WhatsApp group is put the thing out there once, not then have to then individually message everybody and say, are you coming on this bicycle thing? Oh, well, yeah, I saw something on there, but there was about 80 messages. I couldn't be arsed reading through them. So, yeah, right, yeah. And I even spoke to two of them on the fucking phone. I was trying to avoid this. I'm like, yeah, I know, mate. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you've been at work. I get it. Yeah. No, it's a bicycle. Oh, yeah. No, I know. It got buried a bit. Yeah. And I said, oh, for Jesus Christ. So I'm trying to organise everybody through the WhatsApp group and end up on the phone. And it's not their fault. They're just excited about going away and having a bit of a laugh, right? But, I got my bum out a little bit and said, right, I cloned the group. Found a way of cloning the group, and I said, right, I cloned one with all your tedious banter, put it on this one so people don't have to scroll through all your shit on the other one.
Well, Pablo, it sounds like it's going to be a right laugh.
Yeah, then there was a lot of pictures of fucking Hitler and my name on them coming up afterwards.
Yes, that sounds exactly the sort of thing.
Well,
I would just
to say, shit, WhatsApp group etiquette and my own impatience. Yeah. Just hold back a little bit.
Have you got their email addresses? Good old-fashioned email might do the trick.
I don't know. You kind of want...
Have you got their phone numbers?
Shall I send a pigeon? Shall I do that? I mean, look, I've got the phone numbers. I've got them on WhatsApp. It's the same
if it's that important, Pablo, use the traditional methods. That's away from the rowdy
the WhatsApp
middle-aged teenagers.
Anyway, I could send an email, then you get a response back about 3 weeks later. And I thought, they're all on WhatsApp. They're all reading it, but like somewhat different speeds. But if there's like 20, 30 messages in between
or
the important bits.
Put it on a Google Doc, and then you can see who's seen it.
I tried, you know what? I tried putting a post in a Google document of a spreadsheet up there. I said, look, can you just write down
spreadsheets
your name and your fucking shirt size so we can order your bloody T-shirt? And then a load of emails come back. No, I can't access it. No, it won't let me do anything. It's like, for fuck's sake. Because if you're on Apple, you've got to download Google or something like that.
All right.
So okay.
So what are we putting in the bin?
Look at it. We're putting...
Banter?
Banter's fine.
Hitler?
Well, I'm not going to say he was fine, but obviously, you can, whilst we're about it, Hitler can go in the bin, but for other reasons, right? We can put in shit WhatsApp group etiquette and include with that my own impatience with it.
Oh, is it their etiquette you're putting in?
Yeah, she's seen somebody posted. Yeah, just fucking hold back. Anyway, I'm still cross.
Oh, really?
But at the same time, I'm still mad with myself for fucking getting my bum out. But anyway, welcome to my world.
I've put shouty podcasts.
Oh.
We're not a shouty podcast, are we?
I don't think we are.
We're not.
We're like the Radio 4 of bullshit.
I've been watching a couple. Last week, I think I mentioned I watched one called Bad Friends, and I've only been seeing clips of it. And then I started watching longer episodes, and I've been put right off it.
Why?
Because they just keep shouting over each other.
How many of them are there in it?
There's two main blokes. And then they've got a little kind of timid girl in the corner who lives with them and they kind of give some exposure to on here on their podcast. But they're constantly just shouting just to get get to be heard and screaming it sometimes. And I'm like, no way. I can't be doing with that.
Yeah, you don't need that.
But it's just constant, and if one of them says something that one doesn't agree with, you start screaming. It's not even kind of a disagreement. It's proper... attention-seeking stuff. But I suppose that's what happens when you're doing hours of podcasts every week. You just run out of things to say, and so it just becomes two blokes in a room. A lot of banter, a lot of accidental and intentional racism goes on there as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's very casual racism on that one. Yeah, not fun. So they can go in. Shouty podcasts.
There's a few that I've come across, and if there's more than two people on, they can become a little bit... people sort of fighting for the place, and a bit testosterone driven. And then there were bits where it's just a complete cacophony where they're all talking at the same time. Yeah. Then they all have to sort of calm down and tentatively go at it again. There's one who's more dominant than the other,
and you just, it has to, you know, have the final word and things like that. Occasionally it's quite funny, but it's just too much of that. Mm. And I think that spoils a lot of these podcasts, but they're raking it in. And they do the advertising thing on there, right, where people advertise because they get millions of hits. And so they'll just read off of a piece of paper, yeah. Do you suffer from constipation? Then you need this product and from this company, because then all your woes, worries will fall out of your ass or whatever.
We need a sponsor, Kai.
We do, but they do these inline ones where they read them out, and it's just like an advertorial, but they'll read three in a row, get them out of the way.
I know we've talked about this before, but if you could have the your dream sponsor and you would get free products, let's start from local. Ooh. Who would be your local sponsor? And then widen it out, who would be your ultimate
sponsor? Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? I'd say probably the Raj.
Yes, me too. Nailed on. I'd have the Raj.
Yeah. But even saying this is a good advert for them. I like the Raj food. Yeah, I used to. I went off it for a bit. I think I fell out with them a little bit once upon a time because they got my order wrong.
Darn you. You didn't get any poppadoms.
But I've gone back to them, and now I don't get any poppadoms, so I've shot myself in the foot there. I reckon if I carried on going.
They don't give it out. They don't give poppadoms out. Mm. Occasionally I get free poppadoms.
Oh, if you buy three and chuck a couple of extras in, that would be nice.
I'm not that bothered by them, to be honest.
So there's the Raj. We're agreement. Yeah. So we need to tap up the Raj, don't we?
Yeah, let's do it.
What would it be, like £25 an episode? Something like that.
I'd settle for a free curry a month.
Really?
Yeah.
That would ruin your fat fighters.
No, you can have a curry with a boiled rice, and that is not beyond your sin count.
But takeaway, that's about worth it. But then, what would we have to both go and eat there?
Well,
you're gonna eat it all? That's what it sounds like.
I've not got an agenda here. I just want.
I'd rather have the cash.
All right. Well, I'd rather have the Jalfrezi.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So if you're listening, Mohammed at Raj.
He's not listening.
Okay.
The Viz used to be sponsored by an Indian in Newcastle in Big Market, didn't they?
Did it?
Yeah. So I reckon that was real. Yeah.
Nice. I reckon, 30, 40 quid for an episode.
That'd be nice.
It would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. He's not going to
pay
that.
Today's is sponsored by Raj. Raj, what is it, Raj?
Del
Raj?
When you ring him up,
Are you being accidentally racist again?
No, when you ring him up, he goes, Del Raj.
I'm not even going to... you've put some up fuckery.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
You've got a lot of axes to grind this week.
Yeah, I have, yeah. So, have you heard of an app called SumUp?
Yes.
Have you ever used it?
Is it like a tax app?
No, it's not. It's like PayPal. Oh. But, I ordered, this happened last night.
I've heard of it then, but I haven't used it.
It was probably a little bit of karma when I was getting my bum out on the WhatsApp group. But I got an email back from the people who we ordered a downhill bicycle ride from, asking for a deposit for it in Benidorm. And he said, you can pay your deposit by SumUp, and they gave a link, or by PayPal, and there was another link. And I instinctively pressed SumUp to see what it was, thinking it would take me through to another page, right? And all it did was that I pressed it, then it flashed up on my phone, thank you, you paid €72 to SumUp. And I'm like, have I? What? I've not even registered, right? So I'm like, I've paid €72 to fucking SumUp. And then today, I saw that in the night, I've got a receipt from SumUp sent to my email address saying, thank you, here's your receipt. You've sent €72 to SumUp. Still nothing out of my account, right?
Mm.
And then I look at the receipt. I've sent it via Apple Pay, which I'm not on a credit card. I don't have a credit card, and a number that I don't recognise.
Is it a scam? sounds like a scam, so that you then go and log into something.
Yeah,
like it might say, check your Apple Pay or something, and then you go, okay, here's the link. I'd just be mindful of that. I don't think you've been charged anything. And it might be just phishing. And it's a good one by the sound of it.
Fuck, oh, yeah.
If it suddenly just says you've paid this much money.
Fuck, you got me worried now. Did I have any details in after?
Did you? Well, I don't want to worry you, but that's the sort of thing where you go, oh, fuck that. Let me go back.
Yeah, you're right, mate. Yeah.
Because if somebody comes to me and says, oh, PayPal or Amazon or whatever, I will log out and I will go via the site. And sure enough, usually there's nothing.
There was an option to download the app.
Okay.
So I went and I got the app from the Google store, put my card details down, but I got it from the Google store.
Well, it knew how much, though, didn't it? So it sounds a bit specific.
Yeah, all right.
Well, let's have an update next week.
We'll update you, yeah.
Pablo Scamgate. Shall we do DH Hell? Deliveries?
Yeah, bastard things. Bastard deliveries. My laptop battery broke. So I've ordered a new laptop battery, and apparently it arrived yesterday afternoon, and I clicked on the link to see, apparently Dunn signed for it, right? Dunn.
Yeah.
And at 4 o'clock, well, Dunn didn't sign for it. Dunn wasn't in. Somebody else was in, so fuck knows where my bloody fingers.
You've been done.
I have been done.
Yeah. Let's plug our gigs. I've got September the 7th. With Frank Sinatra and Pam Ford in Beccles.
Lovely.
October the 5th and 6th with Adam Bloom and Mary Burke. Well, in Chesgrave and in Beccles.
Two strong lineups.
I've been doing lots of new graphics for these gigs, playing around with it, because Adobe messed up big time for lots of people. They updated their Adobe Express software and left out a load of features, so all the work that people had on it suddenly had none of the features that they were using, like curved text and things like that. So I've had to redo all my artwork.
Right.
So I spent the week doing that. It's been fun.
I've had
a few good ideas and a few terrible ones along the way. It's been quite a nice little artistic journey, art attack.
Lovely.
You can read all about it, www.shaftofwit.com, and go to the Wit Tank.
The Wit Tank?
Wit. That's what I've called my blog page, Wit Tank.
Right. All right. Do you know what? I'm still thinking about that fucking fishing thing. Sorry.
Sorry. I didn't mean... I should have saved it to the end. Mate, you're being robbed as we speak. Mr. Paul, we just need access to your computer, Mr. Paul.
The money is in your bank. Right, come on. What's next? I need to plug my gigs. If you're still there listening to us, come and see Troy Hawk on the 29th of September. There's about 4 tickets left at Woodbridge, and there is more than 4 tickets left at Southwold Arts Centre, where you can also see Pat Monaghan and Terry Alderton. And I think we've got Jason Stamp emceeing there at Southwold, and we've got John Mann emceeing down the other end at Woodbridge. It's going to be fantastic. Oh, you've got a gig tomorrow night. I know it's worthy of mentioning, because we'll probably talk about it next week.
And I've got Jason John Whitehead and Andy White in Chedgrave tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm coming along with Patreon Si.
Oh, so, you are, yes. Yeah, that's going to be good. Let's move on to...
Well, contrition.
Jordan Peterson, thank you very much. We've got an apology, which I feel is necessary this week. Last week we read out a 1-star review from Mumble magazine about a comedian called Lee Kyle.
Yeah.
And it was a scathing review.
Yeah.
And on closer inspection, I discovered, which is what we do, isn't it? We do the research after the event. It's always good to do it that way. Otherwise we'd have nothing to apologize for.
Exactly.
Turns out Lee Kyle called out the Mumble magazine for their charging acts, £35 for reviews. And he called them out on it, and they obviously didn't like that and gave Lee Kyle,
shit review.
Britain's best comedian, they gave him a shit review, which is unfair, and we read it out, and it made him sound really bad. He's not actually on closer inspection. He's got some really good reviews about his show, and so I urge anybody just to bail us out of this by going to see Lee Kyle at your earliest opportunity, wherever he may be. Yeah, that was unfair. And well done, Lee, for calling them out.
To be fair, we did say that we thought the review sounded like a piss take from a mate. So we casted that whether or not it was an actual straightforward legitimate review.
It was a spiteful review, fighting back at the fact that he told people you might as well just go and put a 5-star review on your poster from Mumble.
Because
it's meaningless.
Yeah.
Basically, so apologies to that. And if you know him,
sorry, Lee.
Pass on our apologies to him.
Calling yourself the best comedian in Britain is probably a bit.
We're not saying he's the best. He says that.
But you're setting yourself up for fall there. But apparently you're all right, and you seem spot on calling out a bit of nailed-on shitarsery, so well done for that.
Yeah.
Apologies.
It's not going to make us research our material before we speak, is it?
God, no. No.
That would take time. Well, let's draw this one once again to a close, episode 37. That was all right, wasn't it?
That's all right.
We're getting better at this, aren't we, Pablo? Well, I mean, time-wise.
Yeah.
Feels easy. I don't know whether we're getting better at it.
I tell you what, Patreon Sai sent us a message and said it caught up on the last two. He reckons that was some of our best work, he said. So.
Oh, very nice. My son is in Japan. He said that last week's was his favourite.
All right. Well, there you go.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's sign off. Thank you, Pablo, once again. Thank you, listeners. And if you want to be a Patreon, www.patreon.com/promotermouths. You can sign up and subscribe, get extra content.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pablo.
Thank you, Kai. And thank you, listeners, especially the beloved Patreons.
Bye-bye.
Support Kai and Pablo by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/promotermouths.